I've been assigned the first 12 verses of James chapter 3. So I'll start just by reading through those verses and then we'll dig in on them. So James chapter 3, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Within the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Well, let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word, and we are indeed grateful for your word. We're thankful for your faithfulness, and we pray, Lord, that you would continue in that faithfulness and just showing and teaching us from your word tonight. We pray, Father, that it would the things that are said that you teach us tonight would be taken to heart, and each one of us would come away from here having been better for being here, for being encouraged and admonished in whatever way that you want to do that. So we pray your guidance on all that I say, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I was preparing for this passage, it took me back to an event that happened a little over 20 years ago. And to give you a little bit of background, for many, many years, the Priddle family had the benefit of going to the Blacks, Jill and Dave Black's cottage, every summer for a weekend. And the custom was that we'd have on Sunday morning a church service, and one of us would take the sort of the children session, and then the adults would spend some time together. But this particular time, I had been assigned to have a lesson for the children, and our kids were probably anywhere from the ages of 4 to 10. And I began the Sunday school lesson with an object lesson, and I had brought with me 5 tubes of toothpaste. And the object lesson for the kids was they were to take those tubes of toothpaste, and it was going to be a race, and they had to squeeze all of the contents of them out into a bowl and then simply put the contents back into the toothpaste tube. And so the kids were quite excited. They were very quick at squeezing that toothpaste out of the bowl, out of the tube, into the bowl, and then they proceeded to try to put the toothpaste back in the tube. And as you can expect, it was basically impossible to do. And the kids quickly became frustrated and gave up. And that sort of was the object lesson as we began to look at this little passage on taming the tongue. And I think the object lesson was fairly clear to them. And the words spoken cannot easily be retracted, or can't be retracted. And I know it left a mark on them. I know on a number of instances in the years after that, they commented on that little object lesson. And as I think about it, I hope it had an impact on myself. And the first verse of this passage is interesting because it talks about teachers. And you know, I'm teaching tonight. Many of us are teachers, though, in various ways. Probably all of us teach, whether it's teaching our children, grandchildren, others that we come in contact with. And James here sets out right from the beginning that teaching comes with responsibility. And if we're not learning from what we teach, then there's something wrong. And also, if we're presuming to become a teacher, as the first verse says, that we're going to be judged more strictly. Now, I don't think James is trying to scare us away from teaching necessarily. If the Lord wants us to teach in certain areas, then we shouldn't be afraid to teach. But at the same time, I think he's really saying that if we are going to be teaching, then we really need to be walking the talk, and that we need to be very careful as we do that. And so, in a sense, as I teach that or speak from that first verse, it's a little bit intimidating, isn't it? And maybe we need to take the teaching of God's word more seriously. I could say that of myself, and perhaps I do. We need to be really, especially as we're using our tongue to speak, I'm using my tongue to speak and teach tonight, and that same tongue needs to be in check. It needs to be under control, and the Lord would want us to be sure that we're doing that, because we'll be judged accordingly based on those responsibilities of teaching that we make. And the Lord speaks about that, doesn't he, in the Gospels. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 20, he speaks to the Pharisees and about their hypocrisy, teaching one thing and doing another thing. And that comes out in a number of passages in Scripture, that God takes that very seriously. If we're going to be using our tongue to teach, then that same tongue needs to be under control and being used for noble purposes, not ignoble purposes, as we live our lives. So after giving this warning in the first verse, he sort of prefaces the section on taming the tongue by suggesting that, you know, none of us are free from transgression or sin. And certainly not, none of us have our tongues perfectly under control. And I think in my experience, that's true, certainly in my own life, but in those around us. You know, perhaps we have it under control where we don't yell and scream at people, but perhaps we don't have it under control to the extent we perhaps don't encourage and just use it in the helping way that we could when we should. So there's all kinds of different ways. So it's almost as if James is kind of leveling the playing field, saying, here, guys, as we get into this topic of tongues, let's remember none of us have our tongues completely under control. And so we can all learn from this, and we all have, there's room for improvement. He says that quite simply that none of us do have it under control. I mean, we certainly have, just as we have power over sin through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we have power over our tongue. But to the extent we don't, day by day and moment by moment, experience and rest in the power of the Holy Spirit, then there's going to be lapses and we're going to fail with the use of our tongue. As in many of the other books of the Bible, James really sets out at the beginning the sort of the spectrum. We can use our tongues for great and noble purposes on the one hand, and then just the opposite on the other hand. The tongue is a small instrument, but is very powerful. And he sets that out very clearly. There's really a stark divide between the good and beneficial things that we can use the tongue for. There's many, many of them. And wonderful things that we can do with our tongue. And on the other side of the spectrum, we can use it for really evil and negative purposes as well. And I'm going to read just a few other verses here, three verses from the Proverbs that really sets this out. I'm sure you've noticed it, but these are three verses that we probably all know fairly well. Proverbs 12:18, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And then Proverbs 15:4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And I don't know if, I'm sure everyone here has experienced situations where perhaps you've been involved in it, I've been involved in it, where perhaps we have used a gentle answer and it has brought about a calming of a situation and brought about peace in a situation which could have escalated and got worse. And on the other side of the coin, there's been times when we have responded harshly to something, and that has just escalated the situation and created a nasty situation. The other one here is a gentle tongue is a tree of life. That's a wonderful description of a gentle tongue. It brings life and sustenance and a real nice picture, but the perverseness of it breaks the spirit. So we can have healing, we can turn away wrath. Our tongue can be like the tree of life, but on the contrary, it can be like a sword. It can stir up anger and it can crush the spirit. Probably a year or so ago, I was in a Bible study group with a man who was probably in his 40s. And he was recounting to us an event, just some simple words that were spoken to him by his father some 25 years earlier. And he literally wept as he talked about his father having spoken about how he felt he valued his vehicle far more than he did his son. And those words had quite literally crushed this man's spirit and were part of probably many things that had crushed his spirit, but those particular ones he could still vividly recall 25 years later, spoken to him by his father. So gentle words, kind words have such a power for healing and for sustenance and life. And on the contrary, they can do such damage. I just wrote down a few things just in light of this. In terms of good things we can do with our tongue, we can praise, we can worship, we can provide sympathy, we can exhort, we can pray, we can provide intercession for others, we can provide encouragement, we can just provide a gentle, some gentle speech to people, and those are just things that bring life and provide healing, don't they? And then I just wrote some down on the other side of the page. I put down gossip, slander, coarse jesting, quarreling, lying, bearing false witness, sowing discord, speaking harshly. And we think about how damaging those types of things can be to our relationships, to those around us. And as we noted in those other verses, they can stir up anger, they can pierce like swords, and they can break people's spirits. A couple of things that I wrote down were rebuke and admonish. And those kind of I put down the center of the page because those can be used really constructively, can't they? We can admonish or rebuke people, but we can do that in the right fashion and in the right way, not in anger, but in an appropriate frame of mind and speech. And they can be really beneficial. But if we use those things in an incorrect way, then they can be certainly damaging. So James brings out this real idea of two sides, and he brings this out further using metaphors, and he uses the idea of a bridle in a horse's mouth and the rudder in the ship, in a ship, and just uses these to really bring this out more fully. We know that the bit used in the horse's mouth, a bit doesn't, I've ridden a horse just a little bit, but I know you're not supposed to yank on the bit of a horse's mouth. You're supposed to gently pull on the rein and just maneuver that horse around in the right direction. And there can be real good as you direct a horse, and you can use it for very productive purposes. And, you know, the same thing with a ship. A pilot that uses that small rudder on this great big ship can, you know, help it navigate through very rough seas, difficult situations, into small harbors and such, and can provide safe passage for those traveling on the ship. And likewise, if they're not used properly, they can be very damaging. You can use that example of the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal. It obviously wasn't used properly and created a lot of problems, not just for itself, but for all those around, and left some difficult things in its wake. And so again, small instrument, our tongue, it can be used for good purposes, but it can also take us down the wrong path. And James brings that out, and he suggests, you know, just a very small instrument of the body, but how damaging and devastating it can be. And we've probably all experienced that. We've seen the good come from out of tongues, and how it's healed relationships, how it's built up people within the church, built up marriages, and all kinds of things. And on the other side of it, there's so many situations where we've experienced, perhaps in our own relationships and those around us, the damage and the fire that has been set because of the tongue used in improper ways. And so certainly very descriptive. And, you know, sometimes you might think maybe James is using a bit of hyperbole, but it's not true. I mean, it is literally like a fire, a spark that can set a roaring fire ablaze. And the issue is that there can be a lot of collateral damage. We can, you know, set a relationship ablaze, and all those around, children and people, relatives, friends, who are kind of left in its path, are devastated by it, just like a forest fire. You know, the forest fires out of control out west, and they damage anything in its path, whether there's you know, houses or whatever. They roar through the forest and damage everything around it, and likewise with our tongues. So in terms of controlling our tongue, we can think about, I mean, the Bible talks a lot about self-control, doesn't it? And I think there's certainly self-control of the tongue, and the Bible speaks about that. And the primary admonition in the Bible is to be slow to speak. And I think our brother John touched on, I think he covered the first chapter of James, and I remember him saying that we have two ears and one tongue, and some of the verses around that certainly suggest that in our sinfulness, it's better not to allow what might be inside us to spill out. It's better to hold back and refrain from speech rather than let those things blurt out whatever's in our heart or our mind and do much damage. And I'll just again read a few other verses here. One from James, the one I think that John read to us several weeks ago. It says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to become angry. And then Psalms 141:3, I like this verse. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. That's perhaps something we could have on our wall. Remind us and ask the Lord's help in that. And then Proverbs 10:19, I wrote this one down in the New Living Translation because it's, I just kind of liked the way it puts it. It says, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Pretty straightforward, that verse. And sometimes it's better just to keep our mouths shut if we don't have better things to say. Now, I think there's another approach, and I think they're not mutually exclusive or anything, but certainly we need to clean up the source of our tongue. And the Lord speaks about this in Luke chapter 6. He says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And isn't that true? I mean, perhaps a better thing is, you know, certainly we need to refrain from speaking when we don't have the right things to say. But there's oftentimes resentment that's being harbored in our heart. There's anger and there's hate within our heart that we haven't dealt with. And under the right circumstances, perhaps you should say maybe the wrong circumstances, that those issues of resentment, hate, whatever the case might be, come spilling out. Often in times of anger or when we blurt out something that just wasn't appropriate, it wasn't because of a single incident. It was probably more likely something that's festered away inside us that we haven't dealt with or resolved with someone else. And so to the extent that we can clean up the source, as I said earlier, of our speech, which is really our heart, then those things are not going to come out. If we have a heart that's full of grace and mercy, a heart that's full of love for the Lord and rejoicing in Him, then there's going to be a lot less nastiness that might spill out. So certainly we, one approach and another approach is to clean up the source of our tongue. So just going to go in, we're kind of going through time quickly here. So we're going to, I just want to talk about the last four verses of the passage. And here James is really dealing with the incongruity of praising the Lord with out of one side of our mouth and cursing our brother or sister, friend, wife, husband, son, daughter, whatever it might be, out of the other. And he brings the example of nature. He talks about a fig tree, and he talks about how, you know, a fig tree doesn't bear olives. I think that's what it says. Anyway, he talks about a spring. A spring doesn't bring forth fresh water and salt water at the same time. It's almost absurd to think about that, isn't it? And so should be the absurdity of it with our tongue. You know, the Lord doesn't want a tongue that is praising Him and out of the other side of our mouth cursing one who is made in His image. I mean, it's as if we look at our, you know, the human perspective, we wouldn't want a child who is praising us on one hand, but yelling curses at his brother on the other hand. That just isn't right. We wouldn't find that praise to be very meaningful, would it? So we need to be aware of that. And James certainly brings that out in those last four verses of the passage. So really, I'm just going to recap just a little bit as the time is ticking away here. So if we are teaching, which I think most of us do. We do teach from time to time. We really need to be cognizant that we need to be walking the talk. And the reality is that God will be judging us according to what we're teaching and how we're acting, and we'll be judged more harshly. When it comes to our tongue, none of us should feel that we've arrived. We can always improve on how we use our tongue. There's so much good that can come out of our tongue. And there's the two sides, as we talked about. Such wonderful healing power the tongue has if it's used in its right way, and such destructive forces if it's used in the wrong way. And we can look at controlling the tongue from two standpoints. Both are, I think, important, but one is we need to just sometimes be quiet. We need to be able to use our tongue less, use our ears more, and refrain from letting our tongue have free rein. And then secondly, cleaning up the source of our tongue. We really need to look at, especially if we've had a situation where something's come out that we didn't even realize was in there, we need to sort of really do some heart searching and clean up some of the areas in our heart that maybe have some bad stuff stored away, and that we need to replace that with some good stuff, so that out of the abundance or the outflow of our heart will be the appropriate things coming out of our mouths. And then finally, God is not pleased with praise of a tongue if we are using that same tongue to curse our brothers or sisters. Acceptable praise from our lips require that we use our tongue in, you know, edifying ways with those around us. And I think I'll just close with this one last verse. It's Ephesians 4:29. Very simple verse, but very powerful verse if we listen to it and follow it. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And as I was thinking about that verse, I was thinking about what a difference a simple verse like that can make in our lives in terms of our relationships with those around us, our husbands, our wives, our children, our classmates, our workmates, whatever it might be. A very powerful thought if we were doing that. How different would our families be, our friendships be, our work relationships be? And so just a verse to leave with us. And so just may God help us in heeding the words of this passage in James, in this verse, that we can bring him glory just to the extent we control our tongue. The words of our lips, the praises of our heart are going to be that much more pleasing to the Lord. And it's going to be so much more powerful in the relationships that we have with those around us.